In our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, I am the door, in the many I ams of our Lord, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the church, for the sheep. Now, having said that, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So I thought it might be helpful to you and to me to understand why sheep? Why sheep? So that's our journey. So I know where we're going. We're going to try to figure out why shepherd and sheep go together. Over to Genesis chapter 2. And you will notice, please, in verse 7, 2:7, on the God's creating man and woman. Chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the physical body, the male and seed of the man or woman, and the soul, the person, by God. And the body that they the soul is housed in a body. The body is made of the dust of the ground. Now, having said that, in if you would, over to chapter 2, right here, and go to verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not, N-O-T, eat of it, for reason, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So one little tree, to one act to show your love and thoughtfulness about God. He tells you can have everything, do everything, but don't do that, just to show that you listen to me. Now, chapter 3. Chapter 3, if I may, in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, 3 and 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, because you did this, disobedience, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So the ground is cursed because of Adam and Eve's sin. And it is going to be the source. Remember, they're made of the dust of the ground. Then now their disobedience has cursed the dust of the ground. The dust is what they're made of. So, when you curse the ground, you're giving a message to the persons who are dust. You're in trouble, in case you didn't know. Verse 18. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And. Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return back unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, you are dust, and unto dust thou shalt return back to the ground you came from, and all human flesh becomes the dust back to what it came from. Now, in the light of that, so the curse of the ground, and people are made of the dust of the ground, and thus God made a wonderful promise as we shared in Sunday school, in Adam all die, and Christ shall all be made alive. And in the process of that, chapter 3, and in verse 15, God made a promise to them. He couldn't make that to angels, remember, like we did in Sunday school. He couldn't do that with angels. Angels are all individual. He'd have to die for every angel. He didn't have to do that for us. Now, if you notice, please, chapter 3 and verse 15. I will put enmity or hostility between thee, the Satan, and the woman, between thy seed, the unsaved, and her seed, the believers, believers and unbelievers. He shall bruise thy head, Christ shall bruise the head, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel in crucifixion. Now, and so with in other words, we have no children yet. We don't know what they are. But when they're going to come, and out of those children are going to come comes a solution, a Savior. Verse 20, do you believe what God has told you? There's no children yet, but they believed. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. And there are no living, but there will be. And you did this, Adam and Eve, because you believed. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And they, remember, they were naked, and they had fig leaves, and they put that aside, and because that's not good enough. And they, God gave them with the coats of skin of the animals that had to be sacrificed. The animals had to be sacrificed to get the skin. Christ has to be sacrificed. The seed of the woman has to be sacrificed to be the Savior. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, remember the ground, Adam and Eve, they're believing. Over at chapter 4, in chapter 4, picking up in verse 2. And at Eve, verse 4, 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. That's what he did. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, because they were instructed by sacrifice to remind themselves of a Savior. That Cain brought, verse 3, of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the first thing of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but, verse 5, unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now what's the problem? Well, Cain is coming from his humanness. He's made of dust. He takes the stuff that grows in the ground, the dust of the ground, and he takes that and offers that to God. Now, you can't offer that which is cursed to God to save you. It is an unacceptable offering. So what did he do? Well, he offered him of the ground, of his own humanity, and God rejected it. Cain, Abel, on the other hand, went and understood. The ground is cursed. We're cursed. We're sinners. And they understood they needed a sacrifice, Genesis 3:15, Genesis 3:21. They needed a sacrifice, etc. And he understood that, and he was looking for the promised sacrifice of Genesis 3:15. He was looking for that, and he offered of the offering the animal of the flock. Now, he did that, and in the light of that. So here we are looking, and here's the ground, and Cain, and all the unbelievers, Abel, and all the believers, and here's Cain, and Cain is coming from the ground. He's going to honor his whole thing. He's looking. Look at in verse chapter 4, verse 12. I'll read verse 11 even. Remember, Cain killed Abel. How art thou cursed from the earth? And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said, that's more than I can handle. He wasn't going to honor God. He went and built a city, verse 17, and he conceived, and they built a city, called the name of the city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. He went, instead of honoring God, he dishonored, disobeyed, and instead of moving around, he located himself and created the first city. Remember, they're brilliant people. All of them had to be, just created. And therefore, they had all the power, the instruments. There was no limitation, except technologically. They didn't have a bulldozer. And they had everything. And they could do music, they could create anything. Wow. But all in their humanness, all in the dust of the ground. Abel is the only one looking for God, outside looking for God. Now, keep that in mind. Cain, human, all believers, human, all believers, all people, I should say, are human. They're of the dust of the ground, and we don't go upward, we stay down. Cities, civilization, we try to do everything all by our lonesome, disconnected from Almighty God. Disconnected. And we do that. Now, and so we're doing that. So here's the ground, and here's Cain, and the ground, Abel, and the animal. Now what are we going to follow, see if it stays consistent? It does. And over, if you would please, to Genesis, and chapter 42, 43. I knew it would come out somewhere. You'll hit it, you know. Keep just saying numbers. They have to come up somewhere. Genesis 43. Now remember Joseph and Israel and in Egypt, etc. Now, so I want to get a handle of what I'm looking at are humans of the dust of the ground, and they are consistently earthly bound, period. And it shows up lots of places. Here are the Egyptians. Chapter 43, 32. And they set on him by himself, and for them by themselves. That's it. All the Jews are down in the end of the Nile Delta out there. All the Jews are down there in Goshen, and the others, Egypt, all the Egyptians are everywhere else. So the Jews had to be set apart. The Hebrews had to be set apart. And thus, verse 32, and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians would not eat with the Hebrews. Why not? Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Why wouldn't they sit and coerce with the Hebrews? They just wouldn't do it. Now hang on to that. That's the Hebrews out here, and you'll pick it up now. Chapter 45 and verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, end of the Nile Delta, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. So now, here's Jacob and his sons, their herders, their sheep, like Abel. They have their flocks, and that's what they do. And they had their sacrifices, and that which they did. They didn't then, but they have them now. So here they are, Egyptians are not like that, as you'll see. Picking up, please, chapter 46. In chapter 46, verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen to be separate people from the Egyptians. Over 46, verse 32. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. They take care of the pasturing, keeping, shepherds. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. In other words, Jacob and his sons are all herders. They take care of animals. They're shepherds. Now, and verse 33. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you, and she'll say, Pharaoh's going to know when you're introduced to Pharaoh, Jacob, you're going to tell him, guys, tell him your occupation. What do you guys do? Now, he's already clued them in. They need to go separate down in the end of the land of Goshen in Egypt. Verse 34. That you shall say to the question, what is your occupation? Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So you guys are all shepherds, and Egyptians, you vomit you. You're disgusting to Egyptians. Shepherds are disgusting to Egyptians. So that's the Egyptians. They got that part. So the person themselves, the shepherds are unacceptable. Shepherding is unacceptable to the world. Hang on. Over if you would please. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And you will note verse 3, Exodus 5, 3. And they said, I'll read verse 2. And Pharaoh said, 5, 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him, obey his voice, to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. So your request is to be able to go as a people and sacrifice to God, and get away from the Egyptians and sacrifice to God. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 25. And Pharaoh called Moses. Remember, the plagues are coming, one plague after another. And so Pharaoh, verse 25, chapter 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, that's a command, get out of here, go and sacrifice to your God in the land, in Egypt. Don't leave Egypt. You wanted to go outside? Go outside there, down, just get out of the way from the city, the town where people are, and get out there in the middle of nowhere, and you go have your sacrifice. Reasoning rightly. Verse 26. And Moses said, it is not meet or fit or right, R-I-G-H-T. It is not fit or right so to do. It is not the right thing to do. Why not? For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? They're going to see us somehow. They're going to know. And will they not stone us? Now, the shepherd is an abomination. The sacrifice of animals, sheep, is an abomination to the Egyptians. It's an abominable thing to them. So now, you have to keep that in mind, and Moses said, listen, if we go and sacrifice, if we go and sacrifice like we do, Cain, like Genesis 3:15, 3:21, if we sacrifice, like Abel, I should say, if we do that, it's an abomination to the Egyptians, and they'll kill us, stone us. So we can't do that. You know that, Pharaoh. So hang on, if you would. Now, so the negative, it's a negative, and we can't do that because of the Egyptians would see us, and a sheep are to the Egyptians a sacred animal, Egyptians, to the Egyptians. That's a sacred animal. In fact, the ram, R-A-M, male sheep, is their god. And the ram, Mendes, and all, that was the city where they honored. That was the chief area in Egypt. And they honored the ram. The ram, they're in the ram, and by the ram, the other gods. Here are all the other gods of Egypt. They're found. The ram represents all those gods. It's the god. Now, and so, the animal was loathed by the Egyptians. It was untouchable to them. And thus the ram was venerated for its fertility, etc. And the sheep were regarded as unclean, and unsuitable for purified persons. Common people could do whatever they want. But real Egyptians never would make themselves unclean. They would never go after such things, abominable things. And they worshipped very much so, long-standing worship was the ram. In fact, the Colossus in Mendes, the Colossus, the great granite ram, was still there. The city was gone. But the giant ram that they worshipped, made of cement or stone, was there. Now, granite, I should say. So now, and they didn't have wool. They wouldn't take wool. They wouldn't have wool. Didn't use the lambs for wool. Sheep for wool. They had them, but they didn't. I mean, they were there, but they didn't use them. Mutton, lamb. And you didn't eat mutton. All the gods of Egypt, many, they don't eat mutton, lamb. And the dead people, remember, they mummify them and they go to the next life in the big, great pyramids. They don't eat lamb. And the priest don't eat lamb. The people that are with it don't eat lamb. It's an abomination. Now, having said that, verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, not the land. Pharaoh wanted the land. They said no, because God had said wilderness, not land. I want you in the wilderness, not land. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Now here we are going, and we need to go. So what have we got? So far, shepherds, Egypt, the world, all the way down the line, are you going to look, is the world looking for a shepherd, a savior above, from God, by God? No. Kings, Egyptian kings, others, pharaohs, etc., Caesars, were called shepherds, shepherd kings. They watched over everybody. But the sheep, no, we no sheep, because sheep, ground, dust, thing. We like things that are earthly, not things that are heavenly. We don't want that. We just want to stay earthly, not heavenly. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, and without turning there in John 10, for time's sake, in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, giveth his life for the sheep. Got that? No. give my life for the sheep. Now, I want to see if it, what we, so far, are we on target? Let's see. Over, if you would, Isaiah 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, picking up, if I may, the world system, are they interested in God as Savior, Shepherd? No. Are they interested in sacrifice? They have them all over the place because of that, because of Genesis, but not to God. They have it to their gods on their terms. So here we are looking, the world system, now, God, would you tell us, you're going to go to the cross. Isaiah 53 is about Christ going to the cross. Now, in the middle of it, may I pick up, please, in verse 6, as you know. All we like sheep, a simile, we're like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray, to rebel, to go to and fro, to wander all about. All we like sheep have gone astray, we're wandering all over the place. And to boot, add to it, we have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, you do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. Everyone that which is right, judges, what? Everyone do what you want to do. So what does the system do? The world system says, don't honor God, do what you want to do. Everyone should be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. And because of that situation, the Lord hath caused to come upon him, fall upon him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the guilt, the punishment of us all. All of us. Now, he's the Savior, the Shepherd. God, that we got that. But, verse 7. Unacceptable. Christ is unacceptable. That's right. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Lord, why didn't you... Remember they asked, they said, if he's up on the cross, if you are who you are, call legions of angels and destroy us. Could he? Absolutely. The trouble is, he volunteered and went wholeheartedly and put his hands out. They didn't have to hold him. And they nailed him to the cross. He never said, boo. Say something. Do something. He did nothing. Nothing. As a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he was quiet. He's the shepherd. We don't like shepherds. He's the sheep. We hate sheep. Why? Because it goes back to the beginning and our human, we're of dust of the ground, we're made of dust, we're earthly, and to think that it is unacceptable, we're cursed. And we don't want to have to consider that. Now, so in the light of that, you would know, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, may I go directly to verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For by the preaching of the cross, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, they don't mind perishing. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So here we are. God, what are you looking for? Sheep. I'm looking for sheep. That's what I want. I want to find sheep. I want to find people that need a shepherd. I want to find people who are lost. They can't find themselves. They can't save themselves like you did in Sunday school. There's no way to answer all those questions. They're all negative. We have no answers for anything apart from you, God. And we want to stay earthly. And that's a horrible choice. Because then we have no help, no hope. God, we leave you out. It's foolishness to us. Remember, the Lord John is going to say in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that does what?" The Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb. We don't like the Lamb. We don't want sheep. God, why? I'm looking for sheep. We aren't sheep. We hate shepherds. For all practical purposes. So now, in the light of that, so here, you don't have to go there, John 10, John 9 and 10. John chapter 10, the Lord directly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, to verse 21. And what are you going to do? You're going to tell us about you're the shepherd, and you're there to save sheep. The Pharisees, remember, are all standing there, John chapter 9. Pharisees are all listening to him, standing there. The people are there. They're listening to him. The blind man was there. The blind man was a sheep that was found. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, them, or the rest of them, they were hard-hearted. And they didn't believe. And the Lord laid it on the line right in front of them. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. There's no other way. And no other one. I'm the only way. I'm the only one. No one else ever will help you. Hang on to that. Now, so having said that little bit, so therefore, in the light of the blind man took note, Pharisees did not. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? What should the Pharisees and the people have known? We said some of it. Let me just add to it. Over, if you would, to Psalm 74. Now, I'll stay right in there so it's easy for you to follow. I just want to give an illustration. What should you know if you were a Jew back then? What should you have known? Psalm 74, verse 1. O God... A teaching psalm, Maskil. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? We're sheep. You're the shepherd. You're the pasture. Now, over if you would, Psalm 78. Psalm 78, may I pick up again, in verse 52. Verse 51. But smote all the firstborn of Egypt in the plague, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, guided them in the wilderness like a flock. That's what he did. God did that. Did they know that? Well, yes, they did. And they won't get, but if I went there in Numbers 14, 33, God kept Israel 40 years in the wilderness. And the word, 14:33, God shepherded them. Why do you think in their rebellion, they never lacked anything. Water, food, medicine, they never needed anything. The Lord was their shepherd for 40 years. And that's the word we're looking at. Hang on. Same word. Now, thus in verse 52, and he guided them in the wilderness, verse 52, 78, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, guiding them in the wilderness like a flock. Now, over to Psalm 79. Verse 13. So we thy sheep, we thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, yours, God, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Pharisees and you guys, how did you ever miss? You didn't pay attention to what is written and what God did for your people. You were you're disregarding it all. Chapter 95. Excuse me, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, again, Psalm 100. Turn the pages. Psalm 100. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 119, the last statement that you read in your scripture reading. After all of that, after all of those alphabet, all the alphabet taking place, and all the Hebrew alphabet, and each one, all 22 letters, and then 8 verses for each letter of the alphabet, and all of it is about the believer working out his relationship to God. And when you come to the end, interestingly, all of the wonderful things, chapter 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servants, for I do not forget thy seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. God, there's no replacement of you. You are the shepherd. You provide the pasture. Pasture is that which in pasture, to tread, to feed, to flock. It means taking care of a flock, taking care of animals, and feeding them, guiding them, conducting, caring for them, ruling them, and doing everything you need to do to help the animals stay with it. All we like sheep are going to go astray. We lead each one to his own way. God, we need your help. We're earthly, dustly. Ah, okay. So, over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 12. Now, Israel didn't. So you want to know where the Pharisees are coming from? We're going back here. Where did the Pharisees get this attitude? Chapter 12, Hosea, verse 1. Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes of Israel. Ephraim feedeth, there's your word pasture, feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. In other words, they're working on earthly, worldly position to try to stay alive and well on planet Earth as creatures of the dust of the ground, and they're feeding on the wind, and wind isn't very nourishing. It just isn't very nourishing. But they're caught up in the system. Over to chapter 13. Verse 4. 13, Hosea, verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, 40 years I took care of you. In the land of great drought, where it's impossible to survive, over 2.5 million people and all the animals, and I fed you and kept you in an impossible place. All by my lonesome, said God. Verse, but Verse 6. Now, according to their pasture, there's your word, so were they filled. They were. What's happening to the 10 tribes in the north? They're disregarding, disrespecting, disconnecting from God totally. Hosea chapter 13, verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, 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 filled. Their heart was exalted. Exalted. That was wonderfully satisfied. Satisfied. Filled, satisfied. Their heart filled and satisfied. They were content. They were content. Oh, until the Assyrians took them, then they weren't content. Till the Babylonians took them, and they were content. In verse 6 again, the end. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Ah, see. I'm the shepherd. They're the sheep. They're sheep of my pasture. But they leave me out. What are you trying to tell them in John chapter 10? You guys are guilty, 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 guilty. And you're, like in John 9, your sin remains. You are just as dumb and unsaved as you were when you met me. Nothing has changed. Shame on you. Now, so sliding down, chapter 13, Hosea. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. See, I'm the shepherd. What are you trying to tell them, John 10? I'm trying to tell you I'm the Savior. I'm the shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You guys just want to mess everything up. I don't. I designed it to work. I designed it to come out beautiful. You're ruining it now. But in me, verse 9, is thine help. Verse 10, I will be thy king. Oh, but we got all these kings, but now you don't have any king, do you? No. I will be thy king. All the kings disappeared, the north and the south. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou sayest, give me a king and a prince. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. You don't want me. Don't you keep pushing me. I'm going to let you have what you're after. You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry that I let you have it, but you wanted it, and I let you have it. What do you let the world have, Romans 1? You can fall down to where you become bestiality and everything else. You can go down how far? To the bottom. I'm going to let you want to go down? Down to the bottom you'll go. Wow. So now, chapter 14, since we can't get anywhere else at the moment. Chapter 14, God, are you going to help Israel in the future? Absolutely. Chapter 14, is Israel going to change? Uh-huh. Verse 14, chapter 14, Hosea, verse 3. Asher, that's Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses for escape or for power, defense or offense. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, gods, and the things that we make and do. You are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Sheep. I'm looking for sheep. Lost sheep. I came to find lost sheep. That's what I'm looking for. Sheep. You guys are sheep, all astray. I came to find somebody. Are you interested in getting found? Verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew upon Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as in Lebanon. Lilies, thousands of them, plentiful. Lebanon, giant trees that still stand. Wow. I'll do that for you. Ah. His branches, verse 6, shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and as the smell of Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall receive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Wonderful, wonderful everything. Ephraim, what are you going to say? Remember we said Ephraim chases the wind, has its own pasture. Huh. What, you want your own way? I'm going to let you have it. You'll be sorry. Ephraim, verse 8, Ephraim, is 10 tribes of Israel, shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Israel, Ephraim, you got rid of your idols and you turn to God. And when you turn to God, the great shepherd of the sheep will take care of you. In the wilderness, he took care of you. He will take care of you all the way down the line, even though you mess up. And in the millennium, he'll really take care of you. Wow. You'll be the special, prized, privileged people of all the earth. Wow. And from me, said the shepherd, you will have all the wonderment of fruit and blessing and bliss from me. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For the sheep. Yeah. And you say, well, what's the shepherd sheep business? I tried to help you a little bit to remind you. The shepherd and sheep is something else. It's a wonderful thing. That's why we're going to do it. Not yet. David will say, you know what he says. The Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. David, you got it. The dumb people there in John 9 don't have it. And thereafter, they all should have got the message. Does anyone today get the message? You remember when the Titanic back then, and the Titanic took its maiden voyage, the unsinkable Titanic. And when it went across, and of course it had a problem and sunk. And the many, many more died than were saved. And the next day, as the reports came in over in England where it had left at the shipbuilder where the shipbuilding was, and on the board, every day the people waited, crowds waited for what? To see the listing. Two lists. Lost, found. Lost, found. Saved. Just two. You're either lost or saved. Right now. One or the other. One or the other. Wow. I'm the shepherd. And you understand why? Because you creatures of dust and of the earth. I'm not saving the earth or the dust of the ground. I'm going to create a new heaven and what? And a new earth. I'm not interested in saving that. When I died on the cross, I condemned all of it. And you're trying to save it, and I have condemned it. And you're leaving me out. That can make it come out all right. Wow. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, thank you very much. Thank you. Help us. God, it's so simple and wonderful. God it is. And we get all tied up and messed up in so many things. And we just plain lose out. God, thank you for your saving grace, for your long before being angry, for your patience. God, that you would bear with us. We don't know about the rest of the world, God, but here we are. Thank you for your grace and kindness. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing, please. 579. 579.